In writing Beyond the Sword Maiden, we used the folktale The Maiden Without Hands, tale type 706, as our foundation. Researching this story, we found 60 variants from 14 countries around the world. Though details may vary between these versions, one thing is consistent. The heroine in this tale is a survivor. Tonight, the story begins in Armenia. Mariam's mother had died, and her teacher wanted to marry her father. Though strict and unreasonable by nature, she now smiled sweetly and said, "Mariam, go home and tell your father to marry me." Mariam asked her father again and again, and his answer was always no. Until finally he said, "When the turtle climbs the tree, I will marry your teacher." So the teacher gave a turtle to Mariam and said, "Put this turtle on the tree. Then call your father and show him the turtle. He will have to marry me." Finally, Mariam's father did marry the school teacher. And after the wedding, Mariam's new mother was no longer sweet and smiling. She was cruel and harsh. And when Mariam's father was out of town, she beat the girl for no reason. In Russia, Anya's brother took as his wife a woman who was as cruel and spiteful as she was beautiful. The new wife resented Anya's power and influence over her brother and the household, and she vowed, "I will be rid of her." The new wife committed 3 atrocities, blaming them all on Anya. "See what a sister you have!" First, she destroyed everything in the house. Second, she killed her husband's favorite horse. And lastly, she cut off the head of her own newborn son. Anya's brother did not say anything. He wept bitter tears and turned away. At the stroke of midnight, he woke Anya saying, "Come, we will go to the church to pray." "It is the middle of the night, brother. It is too early to go," said Anya. "No, little sister, it is not early. It is high time to be gone." And while he waited for her to dress, Anya's brother placed an axe in the carriage. In Japan, Akiko's father said to his wife, "Don't worry, I'll do something to get rid of her." He gave Akiko a beautiful kimono and said, "Let's go to the festival today." And the two walked for a very long time. They crossed one mountain and then another. They stopped to rest, and taking out the rice balls they had brought with them, they began to eat. After they had eaten, Akiko, tired from the long walk, lay down and was soon fast asleep. Seeing this, her father thought to himself, "Now is the time." And he took the axe from his belt and cut off the poor girl's arms, first the right, then the left. And leaving her there, he set off down the mountain alone. In Germany, Eva's father cut off her hands so he would not be taken away by the devil. Afterward, he said, "Well, because of you, I am wealthy. I will see that you live in splendor for the rest of your life." Eva answered him, "No, I cannot stay here. I am not safe. I am going away, and I will depend on the kindness of others to give me what I need." In Hungary, Julika, with her arms bound, wandered in the great dark forest. She cried so pitifully that even the rocks felt sorry for her, but they could not help. No beast, bear, or wolf harmed her as she made her way through the forest. At last, she came to a meadow with silver grass. There she collapsed and fell asleep. And when she woke, it was night, and the moon was shining. "Good evening, grandfather," she greeted him politely. "To you, too," the moon replied. The moon walked with Iulica throughout the night, until they came to the king's orchard. Here the moon called, "Goodbye," and jumped back into the sky. In the orchard, Iulica hopped and jumped and bit into the apples, pulling them from the trees so she could eat. Suddenly, the king appeared. He was stunned by her beauty and brought Iulica to the palace, where she was treated well and bathed in milk and honey. Soon they were wed. And a year later, Iulica was with child, and the happy king treated his wife with more care than ever before. In Italy, Dionysia, her husband, the king, was off at war when she gave birth to twins. The viceroy wrote a letter to his lord about the birth. The messenger who carried this letter stopped to tell the news to the queen mother. Furious about this news, she snatched the letter from the messenger and wrote to her son that Dionysia had given birth to two monkeys, nasty and deformed creatures. She then paid the messenger to stop and speak with her first upon his return. The messenger rode to the front lines of battle and gave the message to his lord. The king read it and was stunned. He wrote to his viceroy that he should find a nurse for the boys and treat his wife with love, care, and respect until his return. The messenger stopped on his return trip at the queen mother's castle. Oh, she took that letter and replaced it with one of her own, stating, "You are to kill my wife and children, because I know these children cannot be mine." The viceroy wept reading this, and turned to Dionysia and said, "I cannot lay a hand on you or your children. Go, take the children in secret and leave." In Zanzibar, accused of being a murderous witch, Rathi and her child were driven from the town. She took with her a small earthen pot and made her way into the forest. She sat down to rest and saw a snake coming fast toward her and thought, "Today I am dead." The snake said to her, "Child of Adam, open your earthen pot to save me from the sun, and I will save you from rain." She opened the pot, and in went the snake. She looked and saw another snake coming fast, and it said to her, "Has not my companion passed?" "Yes," she said, "that way. It went that way." The snake in the pot was thankful for Rathi's help and invited her to come to his home. Along the way, they saw a great lake, and the snake said, "Let's rest, because the sun is fierce. Go, bathe with your child." As Rathi stepped into the cool lake, the baby slipped from the harness and fell into the water, sank to the bottom. Rathi felt with her feet, trying to find the baby, but only churned up the mud, and so she could not find the baby. The snake called to her, "Put your hands in the water. Reach for the baby." When Rathi's arms touched the water, her hands reappeared. Soon she found the baby and lifted him safely out of the water. For many days, Rathi and her child lived with the snakes, until one day she said, "I want to go back." The snakes gave her a magical ring that would give anything if asked. In Egypt, Talia fell upon the ring of kingship, and the ring said, "I am your servant. What would you like to have before you?" She answered, "I wish for a palace next to that of my husband, and a garden that has fruit growing out of season." Now the false wife of the Sultan's son craved the grapes from Talia's garden. When servants were sent to the garden, they returned empty-handed and unable to speak or even utter a sound. Soon, the Sultan's son went to the garden himself and asked for the grapes. He did not recognize Talia as his true wife. Talia responded in a riddle, to which her husband replied, "I do not understand your riddle. Please tell me the story." And Talia told him the whole story from the beginning. In Romania, Elena sat spinning in the great hall of her palace, and she began to sing of her sad adventures. Listening to this song, her brother realized that here was his sister, and that his own wife had done the atrocities, not Elena. On his return home, he wrapped his wife in pitch-smeared straw mat and set it afire. Elena was reunited with her husband, as were all our heroines, and they began to live happily and to prosper, for all was as it should be.